This is a weekly summary of news about women and women's issues and from women's perspectives, which comes to you from the weekly Cheers and Jeers column of the Women's E! News. I'm Nancy Casey. First, the good news. Cheers for the UN General Assembly, who on September 14th adopted a resolution aimed at creating a more potent women's agency, a single UN body to promote the advancement of women around the world. The decision came after 3 years of negotiation. Supporters of the new agency say it will serve as a landmark in the struggle for women's equality and rights. The move would merge four existing UN offices that all deal with women's affairs: the United Nations Development Fund for Women, the Office of the Special Advisor on Gender Issues and the Advancement of Women, the Division for the Advancement of Women, and the United States International Research and Training Institute for the Advancement of Women. These groups will be put now under a single office, forming a full-fledged new agency, perhaps by the middle of next year. The agency will be headed by an Undersecretary General, the third highest-ranking position within the UN. The Undersecretary General will represent the interests of women in senior policymaking bodies, serving as a watchdog for women. This change should bring both gender coordination and accountabilities. Donor countries will need to pledge approximately $1 billion to support the agency in order to help it fulfill women-related promises by the governments and the UN. Other news to cheer this week. Doctors from across India pledged to curb the practices of sex selection and female feticide, which is the act of destroying a fetus because it is female, during a conference that took place on September 12th and 13th. Approximately 70 leading doctors attended the Doctors for Daughters Faith in Action Against Sex Selection conference in the city of Bangalore. The objective of the conference was to build a network of doctors who can act as change agents in the medical community and pressure colleagues to curb sex selection. The sex ratio in India was 933 females for every 1,000 males as of 2001, a marginal improvement from the 1991 sentence, which recorded 927 females for every 1,000 males. Cheers also to St. Louis University, which is launching a clinical trial to test swine flu shots for pregnant women who are at high risk of severe complications from the virus. The study will test the safety and efficacy of a 2009 H1N1 influenza shot. The university is one of six vaccine and treatment evaluation units funded by the National Institutes of Health to participate in the study. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention in Atlanta has designated pregnant women as one of the top priority groups to receive the vaccine. Severe complications from influenza in pregnant women are mostly related to the heart and the lung. Cheers also for the hundreds of women who have entered the Indian workforce who can now enjoy a peaceful commute. A ladies' special train service has been introduced in India's four largest cities, New Delhi, Mumbai, Chennai, and Calcutta. The trains have been created so that women can avoid being subjected to taunting and harassment from male commuters. These eight new ladies' special trains are an expansion of two similar trains that previously existed in Mumbai. Mala Bhandari, director of a women's and children's organization, said, quote, "Now that women have started occupying public spaces, issues will always arrive, and the first issue is security," unquote. And now for the bad news. A report released on September 18th deals how the sex industry in the United Kingdom serves as a major threat to women's equality at work. Corporate sexism, the sex industry's infiltration of the modern workplace, indicates that this type of conduct violates the Sex Discrimination Act of 1975. Conducted by the Fawcett Society, the research identified 319 lap dancing clubs in the United Kingdom. It found that 177 of these clubs have active websites and 41% of them contain marketing targeted towards corporate audiences. It also showed that 86% of lap dancing clubs in London provide, quote, "discreet receipts," which enable employees to claim expenses without it being evident that the money was spent in such a club. Kat Banyard, campaigns officer of the Fawcett Society and co-author of the report, said, quote, "The sex industry is increasingly targeting the corporate market, with lap dancing clubs marketing themselves as ideal venues to host meetings and client entertaining. Yet lap dancing clubs are a form of commercial sexual exploitation and fuel sexist attitudes towards women. Their use in a work context discriminates against female employees and undermines women's status at work," unquote. The study also found that 26% of trade unions received inquiries from members that have been exposed to the sex industry at work, including pornography. A previous study revealed that about 20% of men admit to accessing pornography at work. More news to jeer this week. The island country of Cyprus has failed to accurately report the number of domestic violence victims based on European Union standards, according to five non-governmental organizations. Representatives from the organization said that Cypriot law doesn't reflect the distinctions made in the EU's legislation for the different forms of violence against women and children. It was found that 80,000 Greek Cypriot women and 75,000 children are directly subjected to domestic violence. Elena Piasadu of the Stigma Foundation said, quote, "This year, for some reason, women are not treated as victims, just witnesses. It suits the state to record them in this way because this produces low victim statistics." And this week we also note that the governing body of the World Taekwondo Federation overturned its 2007 decision to ban female competitors wearing traditional hijab under their headgear earlier this year. The federation hopes its decision will help the sport promote gender equality at the upcoming World Championships, which take place next month. The prior ruling led to the exclusion of many Muslim women from tournaments. Dai Won Moon, chairman of the federation's technical committee, told the Associated Press, quote, "We believe that our respect for others' cultures and beliefs will allow Taekwondo to enhance its status as an Olympic sport." We also note that a new study suggests that U.S. states whose residents have more conservative religious beliefs tend to have higher rates of teens giving birth. This study, undertaken by researchers at Drexel University College of Medicine and the University of Pittsburgh, compiled data from a 2007 U.S. Religious Landscape Survey and statistics from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The researchers don't know why this relationship exists, but say it could be attributed to the fact that such religious communities may, quote, frown upon contraception, while at the same time not successfully discourage teen sex. Mississippi topped the list for conservative religious beliefs and teen birth rates, according to the study results. These news briefs were compiled by Kimberly St. Louis, an editorial intern at the Women's E-News. Rita Henley Jensen is the editor-in-chief. This audio production of Women's E-News was produced in the studios of KRFP in Moscow, Idaho, and brought to you by VP Foundation and Yin Radio, which you can find on the web at vpfound.org. Background music is by Joan Hickey. The text of this broadcast and more news about women can be found at the Women's E-News website, womensenews.org. For Yin Radio and KRFP, I'm Nancy Casey.